Buddy?
Good morning, Governor.
Mr. Comptroller, had a great time walking in the parades with you over the weekend.
People love the governor, and I get to hang out a little bit. I was in the car behind the governor, so.
Well,
I was really impressed with the response from Marylanders all over Baltimore County. Honestly, it was such a positive day.
Well, I think it's pretty clear from most of the people out there that they really do appreciate the fact that we work together in a bipartisan fashion to get things done. But he's a pretty popular guy, too, out there, I got to say. But I hope everybody had an enjoyable 4th of July, and hope you were able to take in some fireworks. You may have heard that Mother Nature supplied some fireworks of her own here at our historic state house when lightning hit the state house and the lightning rod on top of the state dome. But I was in the government house across the street. We heard this really loud boom, crack. We thought it hit our house. My wife looked out the window and says, the state house is on fire. Smoke was pouring all around the dome. So ran across the street with the troopers instantly, and the Annapolis Fire Department pulled up at the same time we got there from 100 yards away. I don't know how they did it, but the response time from Annapolis Annapolis Fire Department was just incredible. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but it really did look like smoke rather than mist. But we have this elaborate misting machine that keeps the dome safe, and it was Ben Franklin's lightning rod, more than 200 years old, that actually saved the state house. We really would have had, this is the largest wood dome structure in the world, the oldest, and it would have burned down if it weren't for that Ben Franklin lightning rod. So thankfully, nobody was hurt, no damage was done, and I really want to give my thanks out to the Annapolis City Fire Department. Did a tremendous job. And this morning, before we get started, we have a very special guest with us. It is my real pleasure to recognize the state's longest-serving employee, Earl Jock Friedman. And I'd like, Mr. Friedman is here in our front row, if you'd stand up for a second. So I've been on the job for 17 months. Jock is retiring after spending his entire career, a total of 65 years, with the Maryland Department of Transportation's State Highway Administration. He began his career in November of 1950 as a junior bridge engineer, working his way up to director of the State Highway Administration's Bridge Office. He has mentored countless young engineers, and his legacy of service will carry on, I'm sure, for many years through their work. After years of supporting others, it's great to see much of his staff and his colleagues and his family here to support him today. Throughout Jock's career, he stressed the importance of bridge safety, simplicity and beauty, and personally reviewing every single bridge plan. Two of the state's most beautiful bridges, the U.S. Naval Academy Bridge and the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, are a testament to Jock's talent and ingenuity. And under his leadership, our inspection program is considered a national model. Thanks to Jock, we are on track to fulfill my mandate to eliminate every single state-owned, structurally deficient bridge in the entire state. And today, we are honoring him with pass this over to me. Thank you. We're going to honor him with the Jock Friedman Day proclamation. We're going to name today as Jock Friedman Day. Jock, thank you for your exemplary work, your leadership, and your extraordinary talent. And the citizens of Maryland were certainly lucky to have you keeping our bridges safe for all these years. And we wish you the very best in your well-deserved retirement. I'd like to present you with this. Thank you.
job.
Thank you. How about one more round of applause for Josh?
I've been very blessed. I've had the opportunity to do something that I really love for my whole life. And I've been blessed that I had a wife that gave me the opportunity to do that. She wasn't the one that said, when are you going to retire, this and that. She left that up to me. And I also have a family. Thank God they're all in reasonably good health and doing everything that anybody would want their kids to do. So I'm up to 5 great-grandchildren, so we're doing pretty good there, too. So, Governor, I appreciate your kind words. I don't know why we have a book and we give out historic bridges in Maryland. I'm not sure whether you have one of these.
I don't have that.
It was dedicated to me when they put it together. I put a nice note in there to you for the wonderful job you've done.
Thank you so much.
We've been fortunate since you've been with us. You gave us the money to do what we needed to do, and we're doing it. And I think every place you go in Maryland, you see the fruit of what you gave us the money to do with.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Thank
congratulations.
You.
Friedman to reconsider. I think we need him.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do on these bridges. Maybe we can get another 65 years out of them. At this point, I'll turn it over to my colleagues for any remarks. Madam Treasurer?
No, except that I am moved to say that we have so many great public servants in Maryland. Seriously, people who are there on the job doing important things, making a difference to the lives of our citizens and our communities, and nobody knows about it. And I think it's about time that we took it upon ourselves here to let the world, and most importantly, our fellow citizens in Maryland, know about the great people with whom we work and who work for them. And whether it's an award, a recognition, an acknowledgement in many different ways could be made, but I think it's up to us to do that. And I truly believe, knowing the story of Jock Friedman and others, will help restore the people's faith in their own government and in their own state. So I thank you so very much, and Ms. Friedman, for being here all the time with us.
Thank you. Mr. Comptroller?
Yes, thank you, Governor and Madam Treasurer. And I happen to have that photo of the governor running in with one of the fire hoses to put the fire out. And I want to thank him for saving the dome and also for, well, the award to Jock is just very special. And couldn't agree with the treasurer more. But you, sir, are... Well, you're a model for me. 65 years? Gives him something to shoot for. But thank you for your service. It's fabulous. And we have one bridge over in Tacoma Park, which is a thing of beauty. And it's historic. It's getting completely replaced, and you're keeping it to its old architectural lines. Well, thank you. Yep. Fabulous. Thank you for that. And, Governor, thank you again for mentioning the 4th of July. I attended 4 parades, Dundalk, Towson, Arbutus, and Catonsville. It was a terrific holiday. Gave time for a lot of us to reflect on the blessings that we have as American citizens. It was great to see you, Governor, out there. Thank you for treating me and my volunteers so graciously. And Well, the rain was a little bit of a problem, but that's okay. I was pleased to see so many families come out and enjoy the parades and festivities, which were meticulously planned, executed by countless dedicated volunteers committed to making these celebrations very special for their communities, for so many people, especially our active service members, our veterans, and their families. The 4th of July is a meaningful reminder and a celebration of the freedoms that we enjoy and the values that we hold near and dear to our hearts. I gave several of my medallions to veterans along the parade route. One of them got a little emotional after receiving one, telling me he had not gotten a challenge coin in 9 years since his active combat service in Iraq. It's yet another reminder that we can never thank our nation's heroes enough for their service to our country. Grateful to have had the honor of participating in those terrific parades, and there are lots of other parades equally terrific around the state, and pay tribute to the freedoms that are represented by our 4th of July ceremony. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Madam Secretary, let's get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, we have 18 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We have 4 reports of emergency procurements. We are withdrawing item 16, and I believe we are prepared for questions you may have.
We have 3 items from the public school construction program on the agenda.
Right. They would be 5, 17, and 18. I mean, 15, 17, and 18, excuse me. Yes, we do.
And I see item 16... the subject of a recent legislative audit was withdrawn.
That's correct.
I understand that it was withdrawn due to the fact that board action is not needed to collect the outstanding debt which Baltimore City owes.
That's correct. They determined that the 2008 action of the board was sufficient to collect the money.
Okay, great. I have no problems with the remaining items. I do want to take this opportunity, though, to restate my strong opposition to the public school construction program's proposal to reduce the number of school maintenance inspections. It's unbelievable to think performing less inspections is a good idea when we're talking about the health and safety of our students. The recent audit found that the public school construction program had failed to issue inspection reports for 72% of the inspections that it conducted for fiscal years 2013, 14, and 15. The audit also noted that reports for inadequately maintained schools were consistently 18 to 30 months late. The maintenance reports for 2013 and 14 were not delivered until January of this year after much prodding from this board, and we're still waiting for the 2015 report. These reports are not only crucial for local school systems, but this Board of Public Works relies on these reports to fulfill its role in providing proper oversight of state school construction funding. And contrary to some of the comments I heard, the problems in the public school construction program's maintenance reporting has not been because of a lack of funding or staff resources. We've increased the staff over there specifically to fix the reporting backlog, and the problems have really been about, as the audits make abundantly clear, poor management and having the wrong priorities. Mr. Comptroller, I stand strongly with you on this issue. I believe that reducing school maintenance inspections takes our state in the wrong directions. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a couple of points about that issue. I, too, believe that school construction maintenance go together and that it is foolish to invest in construction when you don't assure maintenance. And, indeed, perhaps this board has a responsibility to find a way in which we can have a trust for maintenance, whether it's part of the school construction project or otherwise. Because it's just foolish not to. In terms of the school maintenance inspection program, I would point out, Governor, you did put some money in the budget this year because it was impossible to hire people at the salaries before then. I believe that Dr. Lever was proposing to reduce to 155 inspections in fiscal 2017 because out of four people in the program, there are two vacancies. The pins are there. It's difficult to retain and train and keep people. And I think you do have to be practical. I believe that we should do as many inspections as you can, but to have to assume that two people, or even three because one is now hired, and hopefully they're searching for a fourth, can do the same number that that four were designated to do, seems to me not very realistic. I would also point out that the school inspection program is created to inspect maintenance quality. It's not really the primary health and safety inspection, although I think there should be health and safety measures in it. But that's the provision of the local safety officials, if you're talking about direct safety. I know that we're going to face some very difficult times with school construction and school maintenance in the next several months, because you're going to have an agency that will not have the institutional memory and that will not have the staffing that it's had. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I do know that we have to be practical and look at real numbers and real slots and all work together, as I know you like to do, to make sure that the schools are well constructed and well maintained, instead of simply trying to point fingers of blame. Thank you.
Okay, well, luckily we have new management coming in there, and they can hopefully fix the problems. A year ago, we said, why are these 3 years behind, and what would it take to get it done? They said, we need to add another position, which we did. The fact that we can't keep people there is a problem. It's a management problem that we have to fix with the new leadership that comes in. Mr. Comptroller?
Yeah, let me just summarize what's going on here, because I have brought this issue up, as the governor graciously noted, thank you, for years. And the issue here is one, first and foremost, of public health and safety. Our kids in our schools deserve to have a safe and healthy school environment. Number two, if they don't have a safe and healthy environment, it affects their learning. Their learning environment is damaged because they aren't in a school that is properly maintained. And third of all, when you have a school that is allowed to deteriorate, like sadly some schools in Maryland have been, many have been properly maintained, but when they're allowed to deteriorate, it affects community pride, who we are as a neighborhood and a community, when the school is allowed to slide into neglect. The governor's absolutely right. We have urged that this be given a priority status. A couple of years ago, I went around to businesses and gave them awards for doing what I called better with less, because they were more efficient, able to deal with the tough economy, and they're able to produce and grow their revenues despite the fact that they had less. This program of school maintenance is an example of doing less with more. We gave additional staff. We gave additional support. We gave additional encouragement. And Dr. Lever, very nice guy, didn't get the job done. And just like this gentleman who worked 65 years for the state preserving the historic nature of bridges and refurbishing them from the neglect and deterioration, we have to do the same things with our schools. And I applaud, frankly, Governor Hogan for this concept of taking care of what we have. And he exemplifies that as far as schools. It's difficult because there's a lot of rank opposition for some reason. but he's done it as far as schools. He's doing it as far as roads. Pay me now or pay me 10 times later for neglecting our roads. Well, thank goodness now the roads are beginning to get the proper attention around the state. He's doing it as far as other things that need to be husbanded and protected. And this issue of school maintenance is first, second, and third priority for me because our kids deserve it. So, Governor, I have a few questions on these agenda items, but thank you for raising the issue of school maintenance to its proper priority.
We'll get back to the facts later.
So I have some questions on item 15.
All right. I believe that Jim Schaefer was here for the Public School Construction Program. Jim, the Deputy Director. We're going to go find out if Jim Schaefer, the Deputy Director, is here.
Let's see now. I have questions on 13 and 14.
Maybe we could go to something else and we'll track down and find out in the meantime. So 13 and 14 is Morgan State, yeah, well, 13, well, both of them are Morgan State University. And yes, Ms. Kim McCalla is here, Vice President of Construction. She can speak.
Good morning.
Kim McCalla, Associate Vice President of Facilities Design and Construction at Morgan State.
Excellent.
How may I help you?
Yes, nice to have you here. We're being asked to add funding for two construction projects at Morgan State University, the new Behavioral and Social Sciences Center, the new Student Services Center. According to my notes, we're going to authorize an additional $30 million in spending for the Behavioral and Social Sciences Center, authorize another $3.9 million for the Student Services Building. That seems like a lot of money that we're adding to the price tag in these new buildings. I guess I just want to have a better understanding of the rationale behind the request for additional funding.
The total funding for the project was $79.9 million, $79.4 million. So this is just the continued funding that was supplied by the legislature over the 4 or 5 year course of period. So we're just asking for the next slug of money. Let's do the project. We're not asking for additional money to the project, but this was money that was set aside for the project.
Okay. According to the background notes on the Behavioral Science and Social Services Center, the additional $30 million would be, as you noted, for bid package C and then for bid package D.
Yes.
What exactly are those, and how do you divide them, and are these, I guess I just don't understand how these all fit into a budget.
We leave it to the construction manager to decide how he wants to procure all the bid packages. Generally, bid package A is site, utilities, foundations. Bid package B could be concrete, structural steel. C, D start to become the body of the building, which is the skin, the interior walls, mechanical systems, the electrical systems, and E, AV systems, some built-in casework. It varies per construction manager as to how they want to package the projects together.
Okay. And for the record, how much was budgeted for these two individual projects individually? And how much do we believe these projects will now cost in order to bring them to completion?
The Behavioral and Social Sciences, if my memory serves me correctly, was $79.4 million and change. And the Student Services Building will be about $80 million and change. We expect to bring the projects in on budget. But, again, the legislature funds the projects over a 3, 4, 5 year period. So, as I believe last year, the board requests that we come down for each every time the funding is approved that we come down for the approval for that funding. And this is what we're doing.
Okay, so the 79.4 and the about 80 million are amounts that were approved
by the legislature,
yes. Several years ago,
yes.
And your contention, and you're stating that these are just components of those overall authorized amounts. And can you keep us in the loop, please, as to whether there are any overages, I guess?
Yeah, correct. We've not had overages. We fill out the spreadsheet that shows all the details of the funding sources and the expenditures. And
right. But these amounts are not being changed each year by the legislature.
No, it's the amounts that have been that are authorized by the legislature per year, and we're not intending on going over budget.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did we find the missing person?
I don't think we have anybody here from the public school construction program.
Well, that's a sorry situation.
I have to say, I think the director of the public school construction program was not to attend. I don't know about the deputy director.
You're still trying to raise the issue.
Sure. No, I might as well. What the heck?
Let me just clarify. For my own mind, I was told that they were. It was suggested by the governor's office that they not attend. Is that wrong?
I think we did instruct them not to attend because
the director. Yeah.
The director. We wanted somebody else to come. The director's already resigned.
I'm not sure how.
Not doing the work.
Yes, I agree. About the director, and so I'm
yeah, we expected maybe to have his deputy or somebody from the department.
It may well not have been made clear to the deputy that she,
Which
doesn't stop you from going into the
issue. Sure. We'll still talk about the issue. We'll get answers. Did you want to cover this?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend deferral of the item until we get someone from the agency here. Things don't surprise me a lot, but this one does. And I hope that we could defer these items without hurting anything until they produce somebody who can responsibly address questions.
All three items, 15, 17, and 18, is the board deferring them?
That is a motion.
I'll second.
On the deferral motion.
Let me just say, I have no problem with deferring motions, but to tell people not to come and then say you're going to defer them because they didn't show up seems to me.
There's one person that's resigned, who's no longer doing the work, who we don't have much faith in. We asked him not to attend. We asked the department to still be here. So
this ongoing battle is not doing any good to the schools.
I know. Hopefully it'll be over
systems.
Soon.
Record news now.
Okay, 2-1. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion? Second.
We
already passed on 1-2-1.
Yes.
Now we're voting on the entire secretary's agenda.
I vote yes.
3-0.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer.
Good morning, Admiral.
Thank you, sir. For the record, I'm Mark Felton, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we have 4 items on our DNR real property agenda for your approval this morning.
Okay, we'll hold up here until it quiets down a little bit. Oh, here he is. I'm going to have him answer your question. We already took the vote. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
I recognize Dr. Lieber, but know you were told not to come, and I think we've gone beyond your items.
Yeah, we've actually already made a motion and no need. Great. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I apologize, Dr. Lieber. I'm sorry.
Madam Treasurer, for the record, I'm Mark Belton, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we have 4 items on our real property agenda for your consideration this morning.
Great. Any questions on DNR? Is there a motion?
I'd like to ask the Secretary a question. That we can follow up later, but a continuation of a past discussion. There's more and more concern growing. I get letters, and I'm sure you do too, we all do, about the impact of climate change and what we're doing to adapt. our planning and our infrastructure to potentials of climate change. And I understand that you're the one who's tasked with that?
I do chair the Adaptation Committee of the Climate Change Commission.
Which I guess
yes,
is
ma'am.
The only place, so you're tasked with it. I hope, and I'm sure that the rest of the board is interested, too, in hearing what the state's plans are in terms, not that you have plans ready for adaptation, but the plans for going into this question, developing them, and dealing with the impact of climate change.
Yeah, we have extensive activity
so
throughout.
They have to be sort of capsulized. But if we could put that on our agenda, Governor, I'd appreciate
sure.
it.
Delighted to.
Great. Any other questions? Is there a motion on DNR?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Now we'll move on to the DBM agenda.
Good morning, Governor.
Secretary Brinkley, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, David Brinkley for the record, Secretary of Department of Budget and Management. We have 10 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing items 5S and 10GM. And should you have any questions or issues, I have representatives here to address that.
Any questions?
Not for me.
Madam Treasurer?
No, I don't.
Motion?
Move approval.
Second.
3-0.
Yeah.
You didn't have to answer any tough questions. That's
10 seconds. I love that.
Yeah. We're going to move now on to the university system agenda.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 7 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing item 6 RFP. Here to answer any questions.
I'm sorry.
Joe Evans, University of Maryland. We have 7 items on the agenda. We are withdrawing item 6 RP. Good to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
It was item one of the items removed.
Number 6.
6 RP has been withdrawn.
That's the St. John's. I have a question, really, just to understand the history of what happened with item 3. I don't have a question about item 3, but I understand that this is the marketing communication services for the Smith School. It was before us last October, and then it was withdrawn, so there was time to look at the process because questions had arisen about weighting technical capacity versus cost. And it comes back to us now with a different resolution than it had last time. And I just want to understand, it went back, it was restudied, you looked at the weighting of the two aspects and came to a conclusion that the difference in the first and the technicals did not outweigh the very significant difference in cost. Is that simply?
I'd like to bring up Robert Martinazzi, who is from College Park. He's the Director of Construction Facilities Procurement. Address that.
Thank you. I'm just trying to read into what you said exactly what.
Yes, good morning. My name is Bob Martinazzi. I'm the Director of Construction Facilities Procurement at the University of Maryland College Park. Basically, ma'am, you are correct. We went back and looked at the technical and the financial evaluation and determined that we could not justify a 60% premium to an incumbent based off of the technical ratings of both firms, which were both extremely close. So that's what occurred on this item.
Okay. I recall that October meeting, and I recall raising the question, because it's sometimes hard to tell, based on what we get, what is included in technical ratings. This has come up, Governor, you brought it up before with DHR, I think, and different people have brought it up over the years. If there were some way, Madam Secretary, to make these things a little clearer so we know what is being weighed within these categories. We can look at the numbers for price. That you can understand. But in the technicals, the difference between first, second, and third is often not clarified for this board. And it leads to questions like that. We're here, I gather, you went back and looked and...
Right. There were six criteria, and we could provide that information on future agenda items.
Great.
Thank you.
That would be helpful. Thank you. Any other questions on the university system?
Move approval.
Second.
3-0 on university system agenda. Thank you very much. Move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, and Madam Treasurer. I'm Luis Estrada, the Deputy Secretary for the Department of Information Technology. Today we have six items on the agenda and have representatives to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions? Is there a motion? 3-0. Thank you. We're going to move on now to the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Jim Schwartz, Deputy Secretary for Maryland Department of Transportation. Maryland Department of Transportation is presenting 14 items today for your consideration.
I don't know which issue it is, but the salt melters, is there really only one company that sells these, basically?
Let me see what number that is. There's actually three companies. One of them... let me grab that item number real quickly. What number is that?
I think it's item 12E.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So one of them, it is a very much a niche business, obviously. One of them is Snowdragon. That's the name of the company. It's not being used at any other of the larger airports in the nation. That's even more of a niche market with some of the smaller airports. There's Aerosnow. They do not sell their equipment. Their business model is only to lease their equipment.
So there's really only one.
And so there's one other that we were able to choose from. Obviously, we solicit all three. We can't change Aero's business model. And of course, again, with Snowdragon not being large enough to be able to get into the larger market, basically leaves you with one other manufacturer.
Would it be beneficial to the states if Snowdragon or some other were in the bidding? I mean,
well, we did include them in the bids. I mean, we solicited them.
Right.
And actually, I think we had conversations with Aerosnow to see if they would, change their business model from a lease model to sale model, and our answer was no. So we've done all of our due diligence, in other words.
I have another question, and I guess you're the person to ask, because it's MDOT, about the last paragraph on that page, on page 26. Other non-bidders were contacted to inquire as to why they chose not to bid. The following reasons were given. 56 firms stated they didn't sell the product that was being requested.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they on the list if they don't do – I mean, why are we wasting the time?
Well, I think what we've been trying to do is try to solicit as much competition as possible. That's what we're hearing from the board. And so we're looking for anyone out there that may have newly entered the market – or, recently decided to purchase another company. I mean, we're looking for anybody out there, and, of course, it works with the NAICS codes and stuff like that. So,
wonder about the codes.
Yeah. Well, they do that. They do that. They put the codes in on what they want to be available for throughout the procurement process.
It just seems to me that you get one, you've contacted 56 who aren't even in the business. The other two really aren't in the business either. It doesn't seem to me the most efficient way of doing things. And I just...
Well, I guess part of it
I'm
is
all
also,
for encouraging well, participation, but not necessarily just the appearance.
I guess part of it is, take Under Armour, for example. I know it's not transportation related, but they utilize a lot of other firms to sell their their businesses or their product. And so we're looking even for those manufacturers or other businesses that might represent these companies that may even give us a better deal because they're hungry. Who knows? We're looking for all those type of opportunities.
Okay.
Our goal is to find the best product
right.
and the best price for the state of Maryland.
I don't doubt that. I just sometimes wonder whether... for whatever reason, we're walking through sort of, what was the term you used, kabuki theater of doing things because we think people think they're right to do, but it really isn't getting us anywhere, and there are a lot of other important things to get done. That's my question. Thanks.
That's a step up for me to be quoted. I'll
yes.
That.
Oh, you're quoted often, Mr. Thompson.
Any other questions on the MDOT agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second, 3-0 on MDOT. And last but not least, we're going to move on now to the DGS agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Nelson Riker, Acting Secretary of General Services. The department has 18 items on our agenda. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions on DGS?
Governor, not a question, but for the record, I would just like to point out that Delegate Deborah Ray contacted us with her strong support of Item 17, the 2nd District Volunteer Fire Department, and I told her that I would let you know, and maybe that will help get the money out even quicker. But at any rate, for the record.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes. Just a note also following the treasurer. Item 8 is a grant to the Allegheny Animal Shelter Adoption and Care Center, which I had the privilege of visiting, along with former Speaker Cass Taylor and Becky McLaren, who's president of the Allegheny County Animal Shelter Foundation. Presented her with, presented Dr. McGaw in May with the William Donald Schaefer Helping People Award, and I'm delighted that I think she's here. Oh, there she is, right there. Becky, welcome.
Thank
Could
you,
we possibly have her stand up and come and tell us what the center is?
Sure.
It's a model for the rest of the state.
Sure.
Is that Tina Rafferty also who's with you? Come on up and just briefly say what you've done, because it's very impressive.
The Allegheny County Animal Shelter is managed by a foundation. We are the only no-kill municipal shelter in the state of Maryland. About 4 years ago, we had a kill rate of 85% of the animals that came into our shelter. At this time, we have about a 95% save rate.
Wow.
For our shelter, which is phenomenal.
That's wonderful.
But we need a new shelter because we have a lot more animals now that we're saving them and a lot more expenses. So this bond bill is very important to us. The first bond bill will go to putting our own clinic in. We will have our own vet so that we can do more with less, to quote the comptroller. So we're very appreciative of what the state has done and how we've been recognized. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your wonderful work. That's incredible. I'm a huge animal lover, by the way.
Controller Frank, you did a 60-second video for the next time, Governor, you're in our town.
I'd love to do that.
Whatever
Maybe
happened.
Put me on your list, too, because I have a 16-year-old dog that's 112 now, so I might be trying to do a save for somebody else.
We have 95 dogs right now. You can take
anyone. All right, thank you.
Whatever happened to Jingo, the mixed breed dog that was with me in the video?
He was adopted by an attorney after he saw
him. Wow. So I may have saved the State House dome, but the comptroller saved Jingo. Thank you very much. Any other questions on DGS?
I have a question, and I'm not sure of whom, so I'll just ask it, about the board's authority to extend the matching grant period. Is it just for any period of time up to a year because we think it's a wise thing to do?
Yes. The actual statute does say in an emergency, but it doesn't sign it, so it can be that it's running out. The board can grant it unanimously up to 1 year. You don't have to have a particular reason. The board can do it as long as they do it 3-0. Extend it for 1 year.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there a motion on DGS?
Move approval.
3-0. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Wow.
And out. We're out of here.
Yes, we all predicted that.
About a month ago, we just recognized that 6 or 8 there.
I will say.
try to expand that. Yeah.